Joining us now, talks of NFL from CBSSports.com. I Own Football is the blog. He's Will Brinson. Will, good afternoon.
What's up, guys?
Oh, a little of this, a little of that. Before we get to the Baltimore team and Washington and all these playoff scenarios, what's going on in Detroit with Jim Schwartz and Titus Young? This thing has gotten way out of control, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's so the latest thing is that as you know, as multiple people have reported, is Jim Schwartz said that Titus Young is going to have knee surgery, quote, unless he doesn't show up for it, end quote. Which is, I don't know that I even call that a subtle shot at Titus Young. That is going straight at Titus Young, and I mean, you know, at this point, it really seems like you know, Young's career in Detroit is really over before it started, which is, you know. And it's sad because the dude is a great talent, but they, I think, you know, when they drafted him, there was certainly some risk. I mean, there's a reason why they got him where they did.
He's Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Will Brinson. The quarterback situation in New York, it looks like Woody Johnson, who's the owner, says, we want McElroy, and Rex Ryan said, I get to make that decision. I'm going with Mark Sanchez again. How is this whole thing going to play out?
I don't know. Would you take the over-under if I said over-under – quarters that Mark Sanchez plays against Jacksonville, 1.5. I'd take the under.
Really?
I mean, he's going to have a shorter leash.
But he's not benching him for Tebow. He's definitely not doing that.
Rex did say, I believe Rex told Jacksonville media that if Tebow is healthy, he's going to be the number two. So there's that.
So that secures Sanchez in the game for all four quarters then.
Look, I think McElroy is going to end up getting in there. None of these guys give him a great chance to win. I mean, realistically, but you know, at the very least, McElroy seemed to come in there. And if you read Jason Lockenfor's report at CBSSports.com, the offense was clearly energized by McElroy's presence. Ran a little bit faster, a little bit more up tempo type of offense when he got in there. And I mean, sometimes change is good, you know. And I think this is one of those cases where the Jets need to change. I mean, the big problem for them is that they owe Mark Sanchez $8.3 million next year, and there's no way they can get out from under it. I mean, they can't cut him. They can't. They don't have any offset language. So if he goes somewhere else and plays, they still have to pay him. I mean, they're locked in for $8.3 million. So it's hard to imagine a scenario where they can just totally cut bait on Sanchez now, or even in 2013. And that makes it more difficult because if you cut bait on him now, you bench him for Greg McElroy. What does it do for his confidence? I mean, do you ruin the guy for the rest of his time in New York and still pay him? You're paying $8.3 million for like a paperweight.
Well, Woody Johnson at least has a cool name, even though things have gone haywire for his football team. He's Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Let's go to Chicago, where the Bears and Packers are going to fight it out, it looks like, for division supremacy there in the North. How long will they be doing it, Chicago, without Brian Urlacher?
Well, I mean, it sounds like he could end up missing the rest of the season, and it's certainly bad. I mean, look, the Bears, I know the Bears are technically tied for the division lead, although the Packers have a tiebreaker when it comes to it, but it really seems like the Bears are kind of slipping a little bit. You know, it feels like another one of those swoons, although, this time they've got Jay Cutler in there. It just seems like, you know, you factor in the Packers should have beaten the Seahawks, and this could be maybe a little bit less close of a division battle. So I don't know. I worry about the Bears. I think that we're going to see Washington or Tampa Bay maybe creep up and steal a wild card spot from Chicago.
He's Will Brinson of CBS Sports, joining Haney and Zeno here on The Fan. And, Will, when you look at the situation for the postseason right now, I look at the AFC as a conference that has clearly risen above the NFC as far as the dominant teams or the teams that are probably the most dangerous. And I probably would give the Patriots and the Broncos the nod as the two most dangerous teams right now in the entire NFL. Where do you sit?
A great minds think alike. I agree. I agree 100% with you, Mark. I mean, look, you look at, earlier in the season, it was clear, I thought, that the NFC was much, much better than the AFC. I mean, the Patriots were struggling a little bit. The Ravens had issues on defense. The Steelers weren't playing well, and we didn't know about Denver. But Denver's still just the number four seed, but, I mean, they're coming on strong. They're only, they got three losses, and those three losses are to, Houston, New England and Atlanta. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like these guys have lost to a bunch of chumps. To me, Denver's terrifying. I think we're going to end up seeing we're lucky if we ended up seeing it too. I mean, you can't complain about it. But a Brady Manning matchup in the AFC Championship game again, and it would be fantastic. The one thing I think you look at with the NFC is that Atlanta, to me, Atlanta, Green Bay, and the Giants. And I know Atlanta doesn't necessarily fit the mold, and people want to rip them for being slow. But I think they're capable of putting up a performance in the playoffs, getting hot at the right time. If Matt Ryan can get back on the early season role he was on with Julio Jones and Roddy White, I think that those three teams are really capable of getting hot and having that kind of great playoff run that we saw from the Giants and the Packers the last 2 years.
Will, how much faith right now do you have in the Ravens as far as being a Super Bowl caliber ball club?
I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but not a whole lot. I mean, and it's weird because they're 9-3. So, I mean, they have a really great record. I mean, there should be lots of faith in them. And it's great news that Ray Lewis is back at practice today. Even if he's not the same Ray Lewis who won two Defensive Player of the Year awards. I mean, this is, still the emotional and mental leader of the team, I think. Look at Baltimore's schedule, and they've got, close wins. I mean, several close wins. Like, I think they're a little bit further they're close to maybe not being, 9-3. And I realize that it's the NFL and it's football, and you are what your record says you are. But then I look at the schedule down the stretch, and at Washington, that's a really tough game, I think. Denver, New York Giants, and at Cincinnati, those are four really hard games for the Ravens. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh have much easier schedules. I'm not convinced that the AFC North is anything close to locked up at this point.
He's Will Brinson, joining Haney and Zeno here on The Fan. He writes for CBSSports.com. Also, you can follow him on Twitter, at Will Brinson. There's a lot of debate right now going on between for the rookie of the year between RG3 and Andrew Luck, and I don't get all caught up in the excitement of certain things. I think when you look at the numbers, outside of quarterback rating, Andrew Luck has been the better quarterback all year long.
What?
And he's played on a better team and is going to the postseason. I don't see how RG3 wins this award over Andrew Luck.
Well, RG3 will win the award because the Redskins offense is designed to improve his numbers, and he is just in terms of entertainment. I mean, RG3 is what Cam Newton was last year. He is the guy that you do not miss. Like, you want to see what he does every week because it's not because Andrew Luck doesn't do great things. He does. I mean, obviously I think he's like five fourth quarter comebacks this year or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, that's insane, by the way. Matt Ryan has 18 in his career, and he's like one of the, Matty Ice, the fourth quarter guy. But, here's the thing, is that the Redskins have had a running game, and the Redskins have talent on defense, although a lot of those guys are hurt. The Colts are a two-win team last year. Andrew Luck is doing everything, and he is making everyone better, and he is making the deep throws, and he's not worried about his completion percentage. He's not worried about his interceptions. He's worried about wins. And if the Colts, and you take a look at their schedule too, coming down the stretch, look, they get Tennessee at Houston. Let's say they lose at Houston, then they go at Kansas City and play Houston again in a game that's not going to matter in week 17. I mean, that's three games they could win, even if they go 2-2. If the Colts win 10 games this year, which is bananas to think about, go back to the beginning of the year, tell somebody the Colts will win 10 games, they will laugh at you. I mean, no one predicted that. If the Colts win 10 games, it has to be Andrew Luck for Rookie of the Year.
All right. Well, I'm just looking at a couple of stats here. Andrew Luck, 55% completion rate. RG3, 67. Touchdown.
It's all horizontal.
That's
just one stat taker. Easy, fellas. Touchdowns.
I love RG3.
Touchdowns, both 17. Luck has 16 picks. RG3 has 4. And quarterback rating is it's not even close.
When you look at the
and what if the Redskins make the
when
playoffs?
When you look
by
at the
way,
bad games,
given the suck fest they've been for so many,
when you
years.
Look at the losses for the Redskins, RG3 has been awful in all of them except for one.
That Giants game where he led them to the potential game winning touchdown, and then they gave up an 80-yard bomb.
Luck has been a better quarterback all year long. RG3 throws 20
Jesus.
Times a game. Luck throws 40.
I will say you got to give. Two things. Give the Colts credit for the way they built this offense in the draft. I wrote about this in the draft. I liked what they did because they got Kobe Fleener, they got Dwayne Allen, they retained Reggie Wayne, they got T.Y. Hilton. They built out this offense to make sure that Andrew Luck had an easier time. And so credit to the Colts for that, but also credit to RG3 because Pierre Garçon has been a big factor. The Redskins are 5-1 when he plays, 1-5 when he doesn't. And you look at what their options are outside of Pierre Garçon when he's already, I mean, it's like Leonard Hankerson. I mean, Santana Moss is old. I mean, you know, Fred Davis got hurt, and Alfred Morris has been a great running back. But, I mean, for the most part, I think that RG3 has done a ton with not many weapons. And it's funny because we thought it would be the other way around, Andrew Luck having no weapons. But look, I mean, Andrew Luck's got – RG3's stats are prettier, and his game is more exciting. But Andrew Luck's been better.
Oh, man. It's like you're talking about this guy like he's just a Subway pitch man doing it with smoke and mirrors. And by the way, now, I hope Seattle wins the NFC West, so you guys really have to think about something.
Right. And that means RG3 finishes third when his team doesn't make the playoffs. And the two rookies who did make the playoffs finish ahead of him.
Unbelievable.
I think the Seahawks can make the playoffs. I mean, I picked them to win the division before the year, so I'm hoping the same thing. And you know, I think
yeah, but you thought Matt Flynn was doing it.
No. I thought Russell Wilson would do it. Yeah, I'm a Russell Wilson guy. Two things I think that you talk about two awards, a comeback player of the year award and the rookie of the year award. Russell Wilson is going to get hosed when it comes to discussion of rookie of the year, and Jamal Charles is going to get hosed when it comes to discussion of comeback player of the year.
Good point.
Two guys that deserve more mention.
He's Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Eye on Football is the blog. Will, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will talk. All right. We'll talk soon.